Get ready. You're about to enter the Renzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another installment of what I'm hoping your favorite podcast is, the Remso Republic. I have this kind of a backstory. Kind of like a way backstory. Because I kind of want to give you a little insight as to why we're going to talk about what we end up talking about in this episode. So, for those of you that know me, I feel like I'm in an AA group or something. Jeez. For those of you that have been listening for a while, you know the nickname I gave myself in high school was Mitt Romney's worst volunteer. Because around 2012, when I saw everyone just kind of like duking it out and I felt like I had to take a side, when things really started getting hectic, I kind of just looked around and was like, everybody's crazy. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. So that's where the Mitt Romney's worst volunteer nickname came in, because I didn't knock on a single door. I didn't want to make phone calls. I didn't want to pass out anything. I was just like, everyone is going and losing their minds right now. Obama's doubling down, and I don't get what some of the people jumping for Romney are jumping about. I like the guy, but it was some of the people he surrounded himself with. I was like, what the hell is this? So about a month after the election, at my high school, we started kind of like a young conservatives club, and we, you know, I thought it was a good time to kind of jump into play. At the time, I thought I was a very, you know, standard conservative, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to run for president of this group. I'm going to talk about things that no one really talks about in Republican circles, things like non-interventionism, free markets, you know, that whole hippie shtick. So one thing I do, because I learned that there were actually people, because I live in Northern Virginia, folks, so, you know, every Republican up here is essentially just a progressive. I go over to the Young Democrats Club, and I essentially just let them know about me, because if I'm going to be president of this conservative group, I want to be on friendly terms with everyone. And, you know, I had friends growing up who were left-wing. I thought I was the only right-wing guy for a while. But I go over to this group, and they're like, oh, you know, Remso, we're so happy you want to come, and, you know, we're tolerant and open-minded and everything else. And within 10 minutes, you know, I'm apparently Adolf Hitler, because I don't think that women should get 30 abortions, and I want to kill Big Bird because I hate the poor and stuff like that. And, yeah, essentially I was just a warmongering bigot and a racist, which is funny because my dad's Puerto Rican, my mom's Korean, and I'm a white dude, so I don't really know who I was being racist against. But ever since that, like, trial by fire, I want to say that I've gotten a little bit, you know, more suspicious of my left-wing counterparts. And as I grow older, you know, I went through, like, one of those rebellious punk rocker phases where I was just throwing up the middle finger and being angry about everything. But it got to a point where I kind of mellowed out. I was like, you know, maybe I need to start a dialogue with people. The dialogue started with my friends on the right, and then I've started to creep, you know, towards those on the left. I had one progressive on in season two, my good friend Karen Nicole Trujillo, if you remember her. Awesome person. We didn't argue at all. We had fun. And producer Ryan, I set him on this mission to go and find as many young Democrats, as many young bleeding heart Bernie bros as he could. And he reached out to about 30. I reached out to about another 30. And zero, like giant goose egg, responded back. So my thing is this. I would rather have Democrats come on and completely, like, you know, attack me and hate me versus them just ignore me. Because when you're claiming to be the most tolerant, when you're claiming to be the most open-minded, but you don't want to talk, that's really disturbing. And I could easily just say, you're not talking to me because you're racist, but, you know, I don't look tan enough to pull the Puerto Rican card. So for those of you that are listening that maybe have a liberal friend or whatever, I don't care what you do. You could be a trucker for all I care. You could be a college dropout. You could be a high school dropout. You could barely speak English. If you're just some random person out there listening to this and you're on the left side of the spectrum and you want to be a guest on the show, I'll take you, because everyone else is ignoring me. So what I am going to do is I'm going to reach out that hand again. I want to talk to somebody who's a little different than me, because I've got a lot of conservatives on, I've got a lot of libertarians on, you know, it's starting to sound a little bit like an echo chamber. So I'm going to have someone today kind of teach me the language of the left to at least, you know, have a balanced conversation. At least, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, brainwash anyone. I'm not trying to convert anyone, but I want to have a balanced conversation of someone. And what I have tonight is a special guest from a conservative organization that tries to do outreach to millennials and independents and other people on college campuses. Her name is Shelby Simmons. She's a Turning Point USA Field Program Associate. Shelby, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So you kind of heard my spiel. Why do you think progressives are so afraid to talk? Because it seems like they're great keyboard warriors and they, you know, they love to go yell at people. But when it comes to me reaching out to them, they don't want to talk to me.
Well, I think they've gotten so used to retreating to their safe spaces where, you know, everyone just encourages them and no one's ever really challenged them on their beliefs that, you know, I think that they don't really want the open and honest conversations that they say they want to have.
So you think it's really just a place of fear that they're coming from?
I believe it's a little bit of they're fearful and that they won't win this argument. And I think it's a bit of, you know, they're used to their safe spaces and nobody really challenging them. So the fact that someone like you is willing to have that open and honest debate with them is a little off-putting to them, I believe.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I'm not going to lie and say I'm a Puritan here. I have avoided certain people who have asked me to come on their program who are from the left because I just see how they are. I just see that they want someone to crucify and just create, you know, another punching bag for. And when I know I'm going to be in a situation like that, don't get me wrong, I'd love to go up and start yelling. But if I've seen anything from, you know, the mainstream media the last year, it's that yelling is all we get, and yelling doesn't change anything, and yelling might get you views on YouTube and everything else, and it might get you another gig on Fox, but yelling doesn't change anyone's mind. And what I'm hoping is that I've proven that I'm not a yeller. I'm not really a conflict guy. I have friends who are progressives. Don't get me wrong. My progressive friends are not all avoiding me because they're afraid that they're going to get deported from the country. Which is really funny because Obama deported more people than Bush and Clinton combined. So I don't know where they're getting their talking points. But it's just
fair point.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really weird. So let's kind of play out this scenario. Let's kind of, you know, train up for the moment. Part of what Turning Point does is you guys go out on college campuses and you try and talk about these ideas such as, you know, free enterprise, free speech. So, Shelby, I'm liberal Remso. I'm a complete burning, you know, bleeding heart liberal. I come up to your table while you're tabling for Turning Point. How are you going to try and start a conversation with me?
Well, first of all...
Racist! Okay, keep going.
We try to have conversations based not on party. I think a lot of people get wrapped up on, are you on the left or are you on the right? And what Turning Point tries to do is take away those boundaries and those limitations and just look at it from a purely case-by-case standpoint. How do you stand on this issue? And what you will find is that most people agree with certain ideas that might be branded as conservative or more right-leaning, and not even realize it. So a favorite thing of mine to talk about, I started off as a part-time field director in Georgia at Valdosta State University, actually. And one of my favorite things that I would like to talk about when tabling is free speech. And, you know, some people just walking by not interested, you stop them like, hey, do you think big government sucks? And they're like, well, yeah, big government's in my business. Or I'd be like, well, how do you feel about free speech? Did you know that we had a free speech zone on this campus? And when students learn things that, like, there's a, that, you know, you have your First Amendment rights and your university is trying to tell you that it's only limited to this certain square on campus, you know, they identify with messages like that. And then once you tell them, like, oh, well, you know, we're Turning Point, you start opening them up to, that opens the conversation to where you have common ground. And then that allows you to talk to them about other things like limited government, more economic freedom, relying upon yourself and not the government.
Okay.
So I'd say a good strategy is to find a common ground and don't make it about you versus me. Make it about something that you agree on. And once you form that that basis of trust and understanding, but and you understand that, you know, I'm not here to attack you, I just want to have a conversation, I think that'll do wonders.
Yeah, definitely. And you just hit right on the head right there. It's about having a conversation, because typically what a lot of people will do, and I will blame the tabler to a degree because I've fallen prey of this. I've made this mistake. We go straight into lecture mode because
Correct.
Our priority is to get all our talking points out there. It takes a while to work up to that. It takes a while to start a conversation, because when you have people coming up to your table that probably know you and they have those preconceived, you know, like you brought up, those partisan conceived notions of you, they already have kind of like their blinders up. So they're already trying to block out part of the conversation. So by just talking to them, that, you know, it brings down those barriers. It's just two people talking. It's not one person who's representing someone else trying to convert someone else. It's a two-way conversation. But Shelby,
absolutely. Yeah. You don't talk to people, you talk with them.
Exactly. And we're going to go ahead and keep talking about this, but first, folks, we're going to go ahead and take our first commercial break. You're listening to the Remso Republic. Hang on tight. We'll be back in a moment.
The voice of the Liberty Generation, Remso W. Martinez.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remso Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with the hooker.
Them yelling at you.
Them yelling at me on Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This what? Large lady with, like, tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over, engine trouble, and what happened? I don't know.
Seriously though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing, and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's P-R-E-U-S-S podcast.com.
Make sure to visit LibertarianWingMedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want when you want. Just email Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the show. We just kind of wrapped up talking about, you know, just having that initial conversation of someone that has a different, you know, a different worldview from you, a different political outlook from you. Shelby, here's one concern I have, because it seems that now, since the Republicans are in charge, and, you know, being a libertarian, I'm an equal opportunity hater. At times, I have been kind of like in the crosshairs of what many are calling the alt-right. And I'll be completely honest. I think I agree with a lot of what people like Milo Yiannopoulos say, but I don't think Milo Yiannopoulos is a good person because he's a straight-up internet bully. Now, I get what people are saying. It's like the Trump tactic. If they're playing with fire, you play with Mount Mordor from Lord of the Rings. If they're playing, you know, Godzilla, you straight up play King Kong on bath salts and you beat the crap out of it. I get it. And it works for him. It totally works for him. And I understand what he's doing. But, you know, I've been the target when I say, you know, when you just constantly try and, you know, I call it the vilification of people. When you constantly try and set people as, you know, just villains, when you try and create a black and white picture of things, that doesn't kind of, you know, that doesn't help anybody. I like what Glenn Beck does. Glenn Beck was on Samantha Bee. Glenn Beck will talk to freaking Don Lemon and all these other communists, and it's not like he's becoming one of them. I don't know what your view of him is, but at least that way you learn how the other person is thinking. And I'm seeing a lot of young conservatives who aren't even really part of this alt-right movement kind of fall prey to that. You know, the thing that I hate about, you know, social media is that when you don't see the other person that you've never met before, it's really easy to attack them. And I think that conservatives can be just as guilty as trying to close off those conversations as the left are. So what's kind of your thoughts on that?
I think that we have kind of become desensitized to the point to where we view people in terms of, are you like, if you don't agree with me, then you're automatically vilified. And I think that we forget that everyone's human. And I mean, people like Milo Yiannopoulos, I mean, he does have a following, but I will agree that he is a bully. And I mean, you might be effective to an extent, but is that really how you want to bring people to the table to have a discussion with you, is by berating them and belittling them instead of just saying, you know, oh, I don't agree with you, you're wrong, and humiliating people? Remember that, I mean, they're people as well. And I mean, I believe personally that you will get a lot further by treating people with respect and acknowledging them as human beings. And I think a lot of times we get caught up behind, you know, like you said, over the internet, we can hide behind a computer so you can say all these mean things. But, you know, would you say it in front of your mom? Would you say it in person? And if Milo Yiannopoulos talks to his grandma with that mouth, then God bless him.
I know my grandma, she's Korean. She'd smack the hell out of me.
I was raised in Georgia. That would not fly in my household.
Oh, my gosh. You could just hear the shotgun getting cocked in the back.
Yes.
Yeah, because what's really sad is, you know, I grew up in Fairfax County. You know, we go blue at the spur of a moment, no matter what the election is. I mean, the leader of the free world could straight up be Joseph Stalin, and as long as he was a Democrat, Fairfax County would vote for him, because equality matters. But, you know, as of right now, as I've kind of moved on since high school and everything else, and I'm 22 right now, I've got really one liberal friend. I've got a liberal friend named Jake, and he's a bleeding heart Democrat, and he's my buddy. Do you have any liberal friends?
I do have a few liberal friends, and I will say it is significantly harder to be friends with someone of an opposite political viewpoint now than it was, you know, years ago.
I'm going to interrupt real fast because I'm so happy you bring that up. It seems that something I hear from other people that are on the right that have liberal friends is that they never try and talk politics. Is that something that you've encountered?
Well, personally, myself, I like to kind of use it as a point to prove like how good our friendship is. You know, if I have to dance around certain topics around you, then I feel like we're not truly friends. Some of my best friends are liberals, and you know, I have one friend that she doesn't agree with me, but she sees a topic in the news, you know, a current event, and she's, you know, like, how do you feel about this? And we have an open and honest conversation, and both of us leave a little bit more informed on the other side. We might not have changed each other's opinion on the matter, but we understand that at the end of the day, our political opinions don't make us who we are, you know? So like, we have a common denominator that we are friends and human beings beyond the realm of politics.
I really wish more people were that way, because I, you know, I'll be honest, folks, I've got members of my family who are just, you know, one of them works for the Florida Democratic Party, and I have not spoken to that individual since 2010.
And you know, sometimes it comes to that, because I mean, there are some people that I do consider myself friends with, but every time we talk politics, you know, it gets a little heated, because one side or the other, I might have been guilty of it myself a time or two, you know, might get a little too touchy about the subject and, you know, raise a voice. And sometimes you just have to realize that you can't talk to everybody about politics. Like, there are some people that you just have to agree to disagree and just call it a day.
Yeah. And it's like you said, it was not this way like even 10 years ago. Why do you think things have gotten so much worse?
I think honestly it's because of the polarization that we've faced. It used to be you had a few political disagreements, but it wasn't really that big of a deal if you know your best friend was liberal. But now it's like, oh, you like Donald Trump? Like, I can't be associated with you. Or, oh, you're a Republican, you must hate people. You know, I think we've vilified both major parties are very guilty of this. We have vilified the other side that doesn't agree with us instead of, you know, meeting halfway. I just really think it's party polarization.
Yeah, and I even see this within libertarian circles, because if libertarians are known for one thing, it's our online jihads against one another. It's really ugly. But,
and, I mean, there's so many factions within the Libertarian Party.
Oh, my gosh.
You see the Libertarian Party infighting, so.
Yeah. I mean, I just remember the stripper guy over the summer at our national convention. I mean, I remember seeing online, I just went to certain pages just to watch the comments with a bag of popcorn and a giant Dr. Pepper, and I was just watching this gladiator keyboard warrior fight happen online. And I literally remember seeing this one guy saying, if you don't support that guy's right to go and strip on C-SPAN on the stage of the Libertarian National Convention, then you're a communist and all this other stuff. And I'm reading this, I'm like, that guy just laid down a zero-sum game. He might be joking for all I know, but I've seen it before when Trump got elected. And I remember seeing something online where this one random dude was like, if you don't support everything Trump does, you're siding with the terrorist. And it's like, really? That's really freaking stupid. And I see people laying down these zero-sum games all the time. It makes no sense. It's like people are literally just like lighting the house on fire while everyone is still inside of it. It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I'd have to completely agree. And just a quick side note about the guy that ran across the stage.
Oh,
I think
Lord.
I think the real loser in the situation is all the people that were being keyboard warriors instead of actually figuring out a way to get a libertarian candidate like onto the main debate stage. We'd rather fight over should we support a naked guy that ran across the stage. I mean, that's not going to make us be taken seriously, obviously, but I mean, I think that we have to stop fighting over little things and put our energy towards things that are tangible and can actually make real change.
Exactly. We're about to go to a commercial break. If you're that naked stripper and you're listening to this, screw you. Because you... Oh, wait. I'm doing it. I'm being a jerk right now. Ah, shucks.
No, I don't think you're being a jerk. I think he deserved a big, like, thanks, bud, for that one. Because you just set the Libertarian Party back another 4 years. So, thanks.
Folks, we're going to go on our final commercial break. Hang on tight. We'll be back in a moment.
We'll be back shortly.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting
RemzoRepublic.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Mercedcast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcast and Blogging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Folks, welcome back to the program. We're gone, you know, cut the episode off a little early, and I think we've hit kind of like the major points. But before we wrap up, you know, we've been talking about trying to build bridges, trying to actually communicate, trying to have a conversation with people. But there are going to be times where it's like we see something and it's like, oh, I want to get involved. I've got friends who, if they're walking outside of a McDonald's and they hear somebody having a political conversation that they disagree with, I mean, they'll roll up their sleeves and they'll be like, oh, hell no. And they will go in and butt into that conversation. So, Shelby, because you represent Turning Point USA and everything else, you have to, you know, you have to keep a certain decorum. You have to even have a certain online presence. So what do you do sometimes when you see someone trying to, like, lure you into a political fight online? Because in reality, it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit more tempered because we see the person there. But online, I think a lot of people are a lot more trigger happy than they would if it was, you know, an actual conversation.
Oh, well, I will be the first to admit that I love a good debate. So when I see online arguments, I do kind of get that urge to roll my sleeves up and get to typing. But one thing that I've learned is that being a keyboard warrior doesn't really get you anywhere. And keeping your online presence PG-13 will do you wonders in your professional life. Pro tip for all the young professionals and people about to graduate college. I will say this. I wouldn't spout your opinion on every single political post you're going to see on Facebook, because honestly, that will be a full-time job that and time that could be better spent. But if you do feel so inclined to where, you know, you feel so strongly about something that you just can't resist getting into, don't keep your arguments logical. Don't play on emotions. That's something that the left and people with no facts do. I would say stick to the facts. Don't belittle and don't berate people. Just stick to the facts and, you know, say your piece. And if the other side starts getting ugly, you know, just back off. It's people think like, oh, I keep getting notifications from this post. You know, eventually the post will die down and you will still have your integrity. But if my advice would just be to take the high road, because I feel like your character says everything. And if someone can get you so mad on the internet that, you know, you step out of your character and say something that could harm you, your reputation, or, you know, the reputation of whatever business you work for, I would just advise against it. You know what? If you can't resist typing, type it out. Don't send it. Or do my personal favorite. If it irritates you that bad, just close the laptop. Call it a day and close the laptop.
Or take a shot each time you do reply of something stupid, adding to the fight, and eventually you'll just, you know, pass out. One or the other.
Yeah, me personally, I would close the laptop before taking the shot. I can goes downhill from there.
Exactly. Shelby, I think that's a great place to wrap up. If people want to get in contact with you, learn more about Turning Point and everything else, how can they do so?
I am on Facebook. Search Shelby Simmons. You can look at tpusa.com to join our movement for limited government and free markets. We have a bunch of cool conferences coming up. We have the Young Women's Leadership Summit, Winter in West Palm Beach, High School our top activist summit. So, I mean, we have a lot going on. Just check us out at tpusa.com. And I'm also on Twitter at Shelby Simmons 94. So everybody check me out. And I'd love to hear from some of you guys.
Especially a liberal. Especially if you're a liberal and you listen to this and you're like, I could talk to her.
Yeah, I'm always open for conversations. So.
Shelby, thank you so much for calling in and having this great talk with me. I think I benefited from it. I think hopefully somebody else did. Or at least we enraged somebody. Maybe we enraged that stripper. I don't know.
I'll be looking forward to his DM tomorrow.
Definitely. Folks, you know, politics is not worth losing your mind about. It's especially not worth losing friends about. I'm not a saint. I've screwed up in the past, but we all need to be better people because we owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our friends and family and so many others. And this is where the healing of America comes in. People, libertarians attacked me when I said I'm praying for Donald Trump. Did I want him? No. Do I like him? No. Did I vote for him? No. But am I gonna start pouring gasoline on everything and hoping that the whole country just goes up in flames because I want to see him fail? No. That's literally stupid. I would have given the same courtesy to anyone who essentially wasn't Hillary Clinton. So there's that. But what's one thing you could do right now to try and get this movement going? Well, you could share the show. That helps out tremendously. Go ahead and also subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and then go ahead and visit our website, www.remsorepublic.com. And if you want to contribute to this conversation, go ahead and find our closed group, which is the Remsor Republic Nation. As long as you're not an Instagram hooker or a Nigerian prince, and we can tell that you're a real person. Oh, Shelby thinks it's funny. I actually have those people try and request it in the group. It's like, hello, my name is Bianca. I need a new kidney. Yeah, shut up. As long as you're real, come hang out with producer Ryan. I'll have a new guest. As always, be kind, be awesome, be good to each other. I'm Remsen W. Martinez. Good night, America.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?